Amen. Good morning. It's been encouraging for me already to be here this morning. It's been a blessing. This morning, I want to look at Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There's a list of things there of things God hates. I want to take some time there to think about and just take a look at some of these things. I think it's we know God as a loving God, and we hear a lot about that, and that is true. God is a loving God, but there are some things also that God will not tolerate. God does not tolerate sin, and God hates sin. And there's just a list of things here in Proverbs 6 that caught my attention here recently, and I spent some time looking at this, and I was challenged my own life, and so I just would like to take some time here to look at these things and see what we can just think about these things and see what if there's any of these things in our lives. So before we go any further here, maybe we can, I feel the need of prayer here, so if we can bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we need you. We're thankful, Lord, that we have this opportunity this morning to gather in this way, Lord. We thank you that you are with us this morning. Father, we just pray that you would have free course, Lord. I pray that you would speak through me, that you could use me to your glory, Lord. That the things that we want to talk about this morning, that we could look at our own lives and look at these things. And Lord, we definitely don't want anything in our life that you hate, Lord. We want pure hearts. We want to be pleasing to you. And we pray that you would continue to help us to build our lives in such a way, Lord. I pray you'd be with us. I pray that you would bless this service and just continue to guide and direct us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So I think if we look at these things, if we look at the big picture, I think that a lot of these things, a lot of sins can be connected with these things here in these verses. And so I think it's safe to say that really what God hates is just sin in general. But I want to look at these seven things specifically this morning. And I'll just start there with the first one in verse 17. A proud look. And I'm going to write these up here on the board as we go. Now we know God hates pride. That's God does not have much for pride. It was pride that got Satan cast out of heaven, or Lucifer. But I think it's talking about a specific version of pride here. A proud look. Proverbs 21:4 talks about the same thing, just uses a little bit different wording. It says, "In high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin." I think that's talking here about having a conceited view of ourselves, about looking down our nose at other people. We can have the attitude that we're better than someone else. You know, sometimes we see a person and it's just clear to us that that person has a lot to learn, and that there's things in their life that maybe aren't right. And it's easy for us to have the attitude about something about that. If we see that, it's easy for us to have the attitude that I'm up here and that person's down here, and just kind of look down our nose at him. And I think that's what it's talking about here. By a proud look, thinking ourselves higher than other people. And it's our natural instinct to do that. We can see others better than ourselves, but it's not right to do that. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." I think we need to tone down our view of ourselves. Proverbs has quite a bit to say about this. There's just a few verses here that I have. Proverbs 29:23, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." And Proverbs 16:18, very familiar verse there, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And that haughty spirit, I think, is very much what I'm talking about here too, is just a spirit of we're better than someone else. And we can see here in this verse, Proverbs 16, verse 18, that there's consequences for that. It says it goes before a fall. And Proverbs 29:23 says that a man's pride shall bring him low. So there's consequences for this. God does not just allow it to go unpunished. The next one, still in verse 17, a lying tongue. Talking about falsehoods, untruths, saying shady things that don't match up with the truth. Sometimes, maybe we're tempted to think that it's okay to say a little white lie, to kind of twist the truth around a little bit to make ourselves look better or to cover something up. And sometimes I think that it's not, I'm not always sure how to feel about all this, but sometimes I think that you don't have to use your tongue to lie. I think we can lie by using actions to make other people believe that something is different than it is, and trying to get other people to think, even if we don't say it with words, trying very hard to make that they think something is the way it isn't. That's deception, to be sure. Sometimes it can be borderline lying, I think, to do that, depending on the situation. And I think it's something that we need to be careful about. There's again some verses in Proverbs on this, some other verses, Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. And we see the word abomination in there. That's essentially the same thing as hate. It's abomination is something that causes disgust or hatred. So lying lips cause disgust or hatred to the Lord. And then Proverbs 19:9. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. And then in Revelations we see what happens to liars. It says in Revelations 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All right, the next one there is still in verse 17. Hands that shed innocent blood. Now I hope I trust this is nothing that affects us too much, but I think what it's talking about here is just exactly what it says there. People that, the murdering of innocent people that aren't worthy of the death penalty. I think of Jesus, of course, and how they falsely accused him of sin, even though he had never, or they falsely sentenced him to death, even though he never committed a sin. And it was just done out of hatred towards him and jealousy, and they came up with enough things to get the death penalty on him. I feel like that's a prime example of hands that shed innocent blood. But in our day, we hear of these things. It seems like constantly there's shootings, and there's a big issue right now is abortion. They kill innocent babies, and it's rampant in our day. I think it's a problem that continues growing as people move away from God. We see the first time we see this in the Bible was with Cain and Abel, and yeah, it didn't take long at all for this to happen when people started moving away from God. All right, the next one on the list is in verse 18. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. A lot of times, I think what it's talking about here is it's not, a lot of times sin a big sin doesn't just start out as a sin. We're not normally just going through life and then, boom, one day we sin this big sin. It starts out with a thought in our mind, and if we seed this thought and allow it to grow, the thing matures into sin. And I think that's what it's talking about here is thinking about things that are going to mature into sin. Feeding our mind with, allowing our mind to dwell on thoughts that are going to lead us to sin. James 1:14-15, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I think that's what it's talking about, is we allow that thing to conceive and to continue growing. It brings forth death. You know, in all reality, the other things that we've talked about here and the other things on this list, it starts with this, with a heart that's devising wicked imaginations. We allow that to start growing in our minds. And just for example, most murder cases, probably not all, but it's people, especially the mass murders and things, that the shootings that happen, people think about it and they allow it to, they take time to allow it to grow in their minds, and they think about it and they plan it out ahead of time. So I think it's good for us to watch the thoughts and the attitudes that are in our heart and to not allow the bad things to take root in there. All right, the next one, verse 18 there, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Now I think he's talking here about if we are being drawn to bad things, drawn to things that cause us to go down the wrong road. If sometimes we see something or hear something that it immediately causes warning signs to pop up in our mind, and we kind of know that it's not going to lead to good things. And what do we do when we're in a situation like that? Does that draw us to, do we feed those thoughts and continue going down that path and run towards the things we know are evil, or do we turn and run from evil if we are faced with evil? I thought about Joseph and how he, when he was tempted, how he turned. And it says in Genesis 39:15, and it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. Now, I'm not quite sure if that's the verse I was actually thinking about. But Joseph ran from the situation he was in. It says he fled and got him out. He went away from the evil that he was being tempted to do, instead of running towards it. It's definitely not our first nature to run away from evil. It would have been a lot easier for Joseph to run towards the evil that he was being tempted with and to engage in it and participate in it, but he chose to turn around and run the other way. Do the things of the world draw us? Are we drawn to worldly things? I think we need to be careful. If we start running to evil, once we've started doing that, it's hard to put the brakes on. A lot of times that once you start, it's not. I'm not saying you can't ever stop, but it's harder to stop once you start than if you turn and run the other way when you are faced with it from the beginning. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next one. I think this one is in verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies. I think it's talking here about giving, I assume it's talking about giving false witness as a testimony against someone, probably someone in court or something similar to that. We looked a little bit at lying earlier, and we see that, God hates lying, but I think the reason this one is, maybe the reason this one is separate from lying is because God specifically hates lying that causes harm to others. If we lie in order to cause someone else to be harmed. And we could also tie this one back into the one that has hands that shed innocent blood. It seems like different things here in this list of things that God hates. It's especially clear that God hates things that we do that hurts or harms others. There's, again, just a few verses here I found in Proverbs on this. I'll read here, Proverbs 12:17. He that speaketh truth sheweth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Proverbs 19:9, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. And Proverbs 24:28, be not a witness against thy neighbor without a cause. And deceive not with thy lips. It's very clear here in these verses that God is not pleased with this, and He's going to punish those who take part in it and don't repent. That brings us here to the last one. He that soweth discord among brethren. Now this is a big one here. I think there could be a whole message about this, but it's not really what we're talking about this morning specifically. But there could be a lot said on this one. There's been a lot of churches that have face struggles and even splits and things just because of one person that started sowing discord among the brethren. Sowing discord is saying and doing things that causes distrust among others. We all know that sowing is planting seeds. And if we plant seeds of discord, we can expect that those seeds are going to grow. And I think a lot of times what happens is one person starts doing it, it spreads to others, and the whole thing balloons up and it becomes an out of control situation if nothing is done about it. It's important that we watch our attitudes toward our brothers. If we have struggles with a brother, how do we respond? It's easier for us to talk to others about those things than to talk about the person that they're about. You know, if we have something about someone, do we go to that brother, talk to him about it, or do we enjoy telling other people about our struggles and about that brother's problems? Or it can be a sister. I'm just using brothers as an example there. I know that it's our first nature to do this, or it's mine to go and talk to others about it before we talk to the person that it's about. But I think it can save a lot of struggles and heartaches if we are willing to go and share those things with the person that's involved in it. A lot of times, also, the thing of sowing discord, a lot of times it starts out with being hurt. If we're hurt by someone, and instead of forgiving and moving on, a lot of times, if we don't forgive, then we start going to other brothers and other people and talking about bad things about the one who hurt us. And I think a lot of times that's how it starts out, and we do it, without knowing, to try to make ourselves feel and look better. So that was just a few thoughts I had on that. There's a lot more that could be said about that, but the things that I said on that are, for me most of all, I was challenged with that. So that's the end of that list. I'm sure there's a lot more things that could be added to that list. There could be more specific things on there, but there's a lot here to think about. I was very challenged in my own life looking at these things, and there's I definitely saw needs in my life and areas where this can apply to me and things I can grow in. But how if we look at this list, if we think about our own lives, how do we fare with these things? Are we affected? Is there anything on here that affects us? God is merciful. He forgives, and we can move on if we have things like this in our life, but we will not be able to move forward in our spiritual life. I think if we have some of these things in our life that are rooted in there, and if we're not willing to deal with them. And I don't think either that we don't want to just... I don't think we need to just always be thinking about what God hates either. And just to always be concerned about that. But I think it's good for us to think about these things and to realize that God does have a standard that we need to come to. I like Proverbs 15:9, and I'll just have this kind of in closing here. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. God will not tolerate sin, but he does have a deep love and care, and he cares about those who are following after righteousness.